Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? You guys having a good day so far?
Yeah.
I mean, we could go back a month with weather if you want. You guys enjoying the good weather? Man, it's so good to have everyone here. My name is Mark, and we live stream this gathering, and also this is the one that's on CBS as well as in prisons across the state of Alaska on Sunday mornings. Would you give it up for those watching online right now? And so glad they're here. Today we're almost done. Next week we'll preach the final installment of its complicated series, and then we start a new one that's going to be on the five core attitudes of our church. We're just calling it the core. And it's who we are. It's the chip on the shoulder we have and how we do ministry here and kind of who we are at True North Church. But today, we're going to talk about a complicated subject. Now, it's not complicated because God made it complicated. It's complicated because we stepped in and tried to do it our way. And how many want to know whenever we do it our way, we mess it up? And so the series called It's Complicated. It's about how we look to the one who designed our lives and our relationships, and we let him define it. And so today, without just, there's no graceful way of telling people what you're preaching on when the topic's pornography. And so today we're gonna talk about pornography. And pornography is not just a problem. It's an epidemic across the globe. In fact, there's a verse I wanna kind of use as a launching pad today for this topic. And before I get to that verse, here's the challenge. Everything God made, everything God created, the devil perverts. The problem is not sex. The problem is when you take sex outside how God designed sex and put it in a different context, that's when it gets complicated real quick. And so today as we talk about this, there's a verse we want to look at in Proverbs that says, "He who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Now, the challenge is this. Pornography used to kind of be this hidden little thing. And Pastor Dan preached the first message and talked about it. It used to be this thing where a kid would find something his dad had hidden in the garage, or it was a hidden thing. But pornography is not a hidden thing anymore. In fact, I remember when I was youth pastor in Vegas, and they finally made the decision with AT&T to allow pictures to be sent with phones. And I remember telling my wife, "Heidi, this is really scary now, because with phones and the internet, it's no longer a magazine you find over here in some hidden fringe corner. It's now mainstream and people have access to it. And the screenagers, the teenagers, the adults." And the challenge is this, is how do we take something God created and keep it sacred, keep it special? And when you conceal sin, what happens? You don't prosper. But when you expose it, now here's the thing, we're a Bible church. And the challenge is so many churches across the globe for years have been silent on issues. And when you're silent on issues, you let the world speak or the devil speak. And how many want to know the devil loves it when we're silent and we don't speak out?
I like when
Rosie's serpent is silent. And so here's some stats. Porn revenue is larger than all the revenue of ABC, NBC, and CBS combined. So pornography, again, the revenue is larger than all the revenues of the largest networks in America. How many of you guys are scared about that? That's a scary thought for me. Here's the estimates of the U.S. entertainment industry. And again, when you try to find the profit margin on pornography, it's not like it's an industry that likes to promote how much they make. And so there's a scale of the low end of revenue and the high end of revenue. Low end, they say, is $6 billion. NBA makes $7.4 billion. Hollywood is 11.1. NFL makes $14 million a year, and they say the middle estimate of porn is $15 million a year. Some people say it could make up to $18 to $19 million a year, pornography. It's a scary thought, is it not? And so it just talks about, it's no longer something hidden in secret. It's now literally, it's a business in our culture. Everyone's paying attention. So guys, if you could just have that lady just kind of either go in the back, or just, everyone's looking, so you might as well just take her out. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed porn online. 90%. My boy's 7. Does that shock any of you? That we need to be somewhat concerned that, literally 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed porn online. 33% of visitors to adult websites are women. It's not just a man thing. One third of those who visit porn sites have been women. In fact, there's one porn site, I did some research for this, not a porn site I visited, but a porn site that out of 100, they broadcast 120 million users a day go to that site. 120 million. And so we're not talking about some small thing over here. We're talking about it. And so the person who designed relationships, God, has a lot to say about our lives. And the last stat is adult bookstores outnumber McDonald's restaurants in the U.S. by a margin of 3-1. McDonald's, like a quarter pounder. And so adult porn sites or adult stores out by margin of 3-1 when it comes to, I remember I preached a camp once for teenagers. And I wasn't there but 15 minutes, and this kid came up to me that knew me, and it was a Christian school retreat. And this kid comes up and says, Mark, he says, they're passing around a Playboy magazine in the guy's dorm. I'm like, well, what do I do? And I said, do you know where it's at? He says, I know exactly where it's at. I said, okay, well, during dinner time, let's let the school know. And then 5 minutes later, someone came to me and they brought it. And they said, they're passing around, like, they're gonna drink whiskey tonight. They're gonna get drunk. And I'm thinking, like, I'm just the speaker at this camp, but I know some students. And so I went to the principal of the school, whatever, and says, hey, this is what's going on. They said, well, during dinner, let's go get the bottle of whiskey and let's get the Playboy magazine. And so we did a dorm search, and they went in and they grabbed the magazine, the ladies, and they took the porn magazine, threw it away, but they kept the cover, and I slapped it on a Sports Illustrated non-swimsuit issue. And then we dumped out the whiskey, and I carried my duffel bag up to the front, and I said, just in case you're aware, tonight, before we announce the topic for the message, I want you to know that during dinner, we did a dorm search, and we found things that get kicked out of school, and we've already called some of your parents. And I just want you to know right there, in that auditorium, no one was moving, and everyone was looking. And then I pulled out the Playboy magazine, the Sports Illustrated magazine with a Playboy cover, and then I said this, young men, don't think that this just affects you. The challenge with porn is porn doesn't just affect the person viewing it, it affects everyone around that person. Right. It affects how they treat their parents. It affects how they treat their girlfriends or significant others or down the road. It affects everything. In fact, I remember, and I took out the whiskey bottle and said, don't think this just affects you. It affects everyone else around you when you choose to partake. And so when we talk about this topic today, this verse here is powerful. It says, when tempted. Say when. When. As long as we bleed red, guess what? There's going to be temptation. It says, when you're tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires. In other words, guess what? There are evil desires God's put inside of every one of us. God doesn't tempt us. We're tempted because on the inside of us, there's something that is drawn to things that fascinate us. They pull us in. It says, we're dragged away and enticed. And after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Here's the challenge. The challenge with sin is it starts out with a desire. We're enticed, we're pulled, and we're pulled in that direction, and then we sin, and when sin is full grown, it gives birth to what? Death. There is a literal cycle that goes on. And so it might start out with porn as something we view, but if you allow it to grow and mature within you, it ultimately gives birth to something called death. There's not life in it. And so today, we want to talk about this. In fact, that word enticed means, it's the Greek word deliadozo, which means to trap, to allure, to entice, or to hook. It literally means to fascinate. Anyone ever gone fishing with things, with lures that fish don't like? You're like, well, no. Well, yes, that's called not catching something. But typically, you're going to put something on the hook that you know that fish likes, enticed. I read a book years ago called Fascinate, and it was a marketing book. It was on how to grab the hearts and the minds of people. I've always loved reading marketing books. And in 1692, they put a guy named Corey Giles to death in Salem, Massachusetts, during the witch trials. And you know what his charge was? His charge was he had the power to fascinate. The Latins, the word fascinate comes from a Latin word which literally means to fasten care, because they had a Latin god named Fascinus, because it was the god who would cause fascination and enticement and hooking. And there's something powerful. And this whole book was they had a whole chapter in this book on how America used lust to fascinate people, to have them buy things that don't make sense up here. Because once you're enticed, you bite on a hook that you know you shouldn't be biting on, but why are you biting on it? And that's what pornography is. It's when there's this desire on the inside that's enticed over here and lured away from, we know what is wrong, we know what we shouldn't partake of. The challenge is, you read the stats, an 8-year-old doesn't always know what's right or wrong at that time, and they get connected, they get hooked. So today I want to kind of unpack different hooks. How do people get hooked in pornography? It's not like anyone stands up and says, you know, I think I was talking to my son the other day. A fire truck goes by. I said, Fulton. He goes, Dad, that's a real fire truck. I said, yeah. He says, you ever want to be a fireman? He goes, well, I could be a fireman, but I could also be a preacher. I thought, well, that's a great dream for a 7-year-old to have, right? Well, you want to be a policeman? I don't know. I want to be a pastor, Dad. I said, okay, well, I'm just throwing other options out there. There's great options. But you're hooked. What's the hook for pornography? The first is when you're exposed to sexual impurity. Exposed doesn't mean you sought it out. Some people do. And I don't know about you, the world is more and more and more advanced in how to get pornography out there for people to view, because they know if they view it, there's an attachment or hook that's there. And for me, the first time I saw pornography, I was on a track bus, and we were home. It was a track or cross country. Don't remember the exact sport, but those are the two sports I do. I can remember that much. We're coming home. I was a sophomore. And the older kids always sat in the back of the bus. The young guys sat in the front of the bus. That's how it worked. And so I was near, I was in the middle of the bus, and these kids they're laughing in the back. So I go in the back, and I said, what are you guys doing? They're passing around a magazine. And I saw a picture. It was pornography, the first time exposed. And I can tell you right now, I mean, I blushed. I didn't look at the, I just kind of walked away, went back and sat in my chair, put my headphones on with my little Walkman. Remember the Walkman? And I put Christian music on. Oh God, I saw something I shouldn't have saw. Oh, that's gross. And I'm thinking these thoughts. And I can't tell you if it was cross country or track, but I can show you the seat on the bus I was. There's a mental image that got embedded that day in my mind, that no matter how old I get, there's still that image that I know happened at that day. And I can point you, I can't take the exact bus, but I can tell you about where it was on a bus, because there was something that happened. And there's this, and many of us in this room, in fact, they say 99% of Americans have been exposed to porn. There's only 1%. I'd like to find out what those 1% are like and what they do, because it would be great to be that 1%. But what happens is there's this this corruption that occurs. And the next thing being hooked is you sustain a mental injury. There's something that gets trapped right here that you think and you see and you know it's there. And now there's this injury and you have to go, how do I limp through life? And the problem is because we conceal our sins, we don't prosper. But if you repent and you expose and open up, what happens? You now can get help with the injury. But there's some folks that because of the shame and because of the things that happened, there's this mental image that now has been changed. In fact, in this book, I read a little bit studying for this on that book called Fascinate that talked about with lust, that literally your saliva glands begin to, there's extra saliva that begins to be created. And it says, but it's not normal saliva. It actually begins to create testosterone that begins to flow through your body. And that's what happens when you view porn. It begins to create hormones that shift and they change how you think and how you act. Because there's a mental injury. And then thirdly, you become sexually confused. Now that does not mean you become a gender dysphoria, like I don't know who I am anymore, things like that. That could possibly happen. But what happens is, especially in your formative years of sex, you know, if your first exposure to sex is an aberration of what God created. How many want to know God created us for a monogamous relationship with a spouse within the context of marriage, and sex was a good thing God created in that context? You take it outside that context, it gets confusing really quick. Because what's supposed to be blessed by God within the confines of marriage, you now have experience outside of marriage, and yet there's pleasure there, and you're going, wait a second here. Why is there pleasure in this area of sexuality, and there's no intimacy? And then it's in the hidden shadows. It's not in front of everything. And then there's shame. And so you have pleasure without intimacy. And then you have pleasure without work. And then there's emotions that come in. And after pleasure comes in with what? Shame and guilt and confusion. And then it stems from that initial exposure that it's, this kind of drew you in. And all of a sudden you're wrestling going, and here's what I know. I had a assistant youth pastor on staff with me once, and I'd ask him, how are you doing with porn? I'm doing great. Do you have a problem? I don't have a problem, Pastor Mark. I'm doing incredible. And then one day on Christmas Eve, he couldn't go home for Christmas. He was young and single, didn't have the time off, things like that. And I walked in on the 24th of December, and he's late, about 9 o'clock in the office. I'm thinking, why is Eddie in the office on Christmas Eve? You know, or excuse me, the 23rd of Christmas. I walk in, and he's trying to back out of things on the browser, on his internet. And you know what's amazing is that our church had filters on our internet, but the filters went down on the 22nd of December and our offices were closed until the 31st. And so the computer guy says, I'll save a couple $100 by not subscribing until January 1 because there was a bonus if you subscribe. And so for 6 days, we had no internet. We had no internet protection. And wouldn't you know it, the one kid that was single and lonely found himself on the internet when there wasn't protection, because the devil is a liar and knows when to throw the fish, the bait in the water to entice someone to tug along. And so Eddie, I said, what are you doing, Eddie? He said, I'm viewing pornography. I said, Eddie, give me your keys. I said, we'll talk about this. I'll talk to pastor, but right now you need to go home and don't come back to the office. I love you. I prayed with him. But I used to ask him, when's the last time, I used to ask him, are you okay with pornography? Until I realized that's the last or wrong question to ask someone. A better question to ask someone is this: when's the last time you viewed something that's inappropriate? Because most of us don't think we have a problem. I kind of got the cat by the tail. I'm okay. I'm not as bad as someone else. You know, number four, you experience periods of sexual sobriety followed by sexual binges. That's how you get hooked. I've got it. I'm okay right now, but then there's these binges and there's these, you know, so it's almost this back and forth tug of war. And the challenge is this. You know where self-esteem comes from, church? Self-esteem comes from when we make promises to ourselves and keep them. But when you don't keep your promises, where's confidence? Spiritual confidence comes when, God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm never going to do it again. And we don't. And then all of a sudden we do it and we go, oh, it's almost like. And I remember when my associate youth pastor, I found out he was struggling with pornography. God kept taking me back to a verse in the Old Testament where it says David killed a lion and he killed a bear. And that didn't make any sense to me. I mean, it's like, why do you keep taking me this verse about a lion and bear? And then I looked up every story in the Bible about lions. And, you know, and we know this. We know the devil's a cat because the devil's like a lion. Prowls around like, and looking to, but the Bible has very little to say about a bear other than these people who made fun of a prophet. A bear came out and killed him. So don't make fun of prophets. But there's very little. And then all of a sudden, I started saying, God kind of started asking, Mark, what do bears do? And I realized, what do bears do? 4, 5, 6 months of the year, they hibernate. They go to sleep. But when they wake up, they're what? They're hungry. And I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, Mark, the church is good at killing lions when they know they're around and people can see them, but we're not really good at killing bears because we think we killed a bear, but all the bear did was sleep. And when it wakes up, it's hungry. So I think in the issue of pornography or sexual sin, I think we're talking about a bear. We're talking about something where there's sleeping and there's sobriety and we feel like we overcame it. And then there's this hunger and that plays along with lots of different things because see, pornography, in fact, Psychology Today said this. This is not even a Christian business, not even a Christian book, but Psychology Today understands what the Bible understands and that this, they said no reported cases has pornography ever increased intimacy within marriage. Never. In other words, they say porn doesn't work. They go on to say this, but porn changes how you see the world. People become objects. You objectify the person. You objectify the woman or objectify the man, and your perceptions of reality become clouded by fantasy, and you're drawn away by this fantasy. And how many want to know, fantasy and reality are two separate things. And then you begin to project things on your human relationships that are different than fantasy. And your standard for beauty is formed by fiction rather than by reality. And the real world, how many want to know the real world can never offer what fantasy can? Right. Never offer what fantasy can. And it starts with an exposure to something impure, and then it grows from that to mental images, to this thing, to where now there's this tug of war on it. And we're like, and the problem is this, the loneliest people in the world, they say, are attracted to porn more than those that aren't lonely. The challenge is porn makes people more lonely. So it's this cycle that never gets fixed. Until, I shouldn't say never. How many want to know that God can set the captive free? We're not talking about porn today because we think porn can master the minds of everyone in America. We believe that God has the power to overcome anything the devil has perverted. God created something in marriage called sex, and the devil's perverted it. And so God has answers. And so I want to talk today about what are God's answers. How do we heal your sexual wounds? Because it starts with a wound, an exposure. Number one, protect the wound from further injury. We have someone in our church that has diabetes, and he's lost a foot already. And came about a month ago. He had an open sore in a foot that wasn't closing up, and the doctor said if the foot does not close up, then we're gonna have to take that foot. And then, how many want to know you're pretty desperate when you've lost one foot and you have an opening and a hole in one foot? And so I remember he and his wife came to the front of the altar. We prayed over them. And the doctors the next day were blown away because there was brand new skin on a foot that was open sore the day before. God can heal. And I went over there today. He said, Steve, how's your foot? He says, Mark, they take a picture every day to document it because they've never seen this before. But I share that because if you have a wound, and let's say you break your arm, and if you break your arm, they put a cast on your arm. They don't put a cast on your arm because that cast heals your arm. They put a cast on your arm to protect your arm so there's no further damage until the bone is healed on the inside as the body does what God created the body to do, which is heal itself, right? So how do we protect the wound of sexual impurity? How do we protect it long enough for God to begin to heal? Because God's in the healing business, church. I stand here, we could talk about this difficult topic, but I'm here to say I know there are men and women in our church that have gone through our Living Free classes and life groups where they found freedom. If you're here today and you don't have freedom, I'm here to say that God can forgive you, God can heal you, God can set the captive free and release the oppressed. If that doesn't happen, then let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But I have the hope that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, and because of that, he has power to heal, set the captive free, release the oppressed, give sight to the blind. That's why we talk about this stuff. You don't have to stay addicted. So if you have a wound, you quit exposing yourself, but you protect the wound. And here's three ways we can protect our wound. Number one, bounce your eyes. In other words, when something happens, and I'll tell you, it's crazy. There are seasons as the pastor of this church that there's heavy things that happen. You know, we're in a season where we got to raise several million dollars to build the building. There's a weight that comes along with that. But I remember a while ago, there was a difficult season and there were some challenges. And I remember getting this text messages. It was a 907 number. I don't know how they market this stuff. It was like, hey, check out the fastest growing churches in America. And I clicked the link there and it took me right to a porn site. And I'm thinking like, how did they figure out how to market to pastors like that? It's not like, it's there. And so how do we protect? So when you see an image, and so I thought I'd put an image on the ceiling, on the thing today. And I'm like, how many bounce your eyes? Okay, one, two, I'm joking. The idea is you have to bounce, you look away. How many times we've ever watched a movie with our kids and we know there's a scary scene? I think we were watching, an old World War One, Civil War movie where, the cannonball cuts a guy's leg off and we know what's gonna happen. You guys ever seen that? Don't raise your hand. And we go, okay, Fulton probably shouldn't see that. So we go, oh, Fulton, close. And what do? We go, Fulton, cover your eyes. What would happen if we started covering our eyes with things we shouldn't be seeing? Yep. Bounce your eyes. Just look away. Just look the way. There's a powerful verse here. Do not command. This is God's, Jesus' response to lust and purity. He says, don't commit adultery. That's the Old Testament. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Friends, look at me. This is the Sermon on the Mount. God is talking about unless your righteousness, unless you're living in the right more than the Pharisees, you'll never inherit the kingdom of God. The Pharisees was outward. Everything was outward obedience, but he says, no, there's a heart stuff here. The reason you bounce your eyes is because you want to protect your heart. Look at me, friends. Your heart needs to be whole and healed and all filled with what? All that God has for you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, everything. Guard your heart, for from it flows the issues of life, it says in Proverbs. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. So at the end of our gathering, we do have people with spoons today. They're going to come up. And we got free eye patches in the back for y'all, okay? It's called the eye gouging ministry. Some of you might be really good at that. You're not scared of blood, things like, no. That's a hyperbole. It's an over-exaggeration to prove a point. We've all said, I'm so hungry I could eat a cow, or I'm so hungry I could, it's an over-exaggeration. But what Jesus is saying, if your eye causes you to sin, do whatever it takes to protect your eyes. Gouge them out, cover them up, close them. I love what Job said. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. He made the decision beforehand. That when the temptation, because when the temptation comes and the fisherman hangs the lure over here, bounce the eyes. I'm not gonna look, I'm not gonna look because I know I'll be drawn to take another step. I'll be drawn, I'll be allured, I'll be fascinated. Number two, capture sinful thoughts. Here's what I know. We can't keep a bird from landing on our head. But we can keep it from building a nest there. So in other words, this thought enters your mind and you're like, and a bird lands on your head, you're like, get out of there. You shoo it away. You purposely make sure it can't. You see, I heard someone say thoughts are like trains. Some of us are on the wrong train of thought, and trains take us somewhere. So if you have a thought that's not good, wrestle that thought down, take it captive. I love, we read, it says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, compliant to what the Word of God says. Capture your thoughts. Don't go on mental vacations in this area. You can't afford to allow those thoughts. They're like trains. They will take you somewhere if you're on the wrong train of thought. You don't want to go there. Displace it. That's why Paul says whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Heard someone say once, the Word of God is the Holy Ghost detergent for our mind. Get the Word of God in your mind. Pack it full of the Word of God. Pack your life. The third way to make sure we can protect our wound is number three, run for your life. Run for your life. It wouldn't have been Custer's last stand if it would have been Custer's first retreat. Run for your life. Oh, I can handle this. No, guys, we bleed red. We can't handle it. Ladies, we can't handle it. You can't expose yourself. You got to run. This is what the Proverbs, Solomon said, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. He's talking about the prostitute. It's a father. Solomon's writing to his son, says, son, if you can do anything, I'll just tell you right now, keep far from her house. Don't go near her door. Don't even be enticed to go. Run. In fact, the Bible says flee from sexual immorality. Run. In fact, that word flee in the Greek means, it's fugio. It means to run away, to shun, to vanish, to escape. I'm shunning you. It's like when Potiphar's wife, who is a beautiful, attractive woman, Joseph shows up that day. If you know the story in Genesis chapter 37, 38, 39, Joseph shows up. There's no one else in the house that day, and he's doing his work, and Potiphar's wife is begging him to come to bed, and it says he left. He ran out of the house and lost his coat. If you know the story of Joseph, that's the second coat he lost. His brothers took one and put blood on it to say, Dad, we found this. Your son with a coat of many colors is dead. He lost another coat, but friends, look at me. You might as well. It's better to lose a coat than lose your character. Yeah. Flee. Run. I can hang out here, I'll be fine. No, you can't hang out there. You can't, you will not be fine. Run, run, run. Here's ways we could flee. Ways we run. Number one, destroy your stash. Get rid of it. No rainy day stuff. Nothing hidden in the garage. Nothing hidden anywhere else. Nothing on, no photos on your protected, you know, wherever, on your digital devices. Make sure they're not there. Delete them. Number two, ensure accountability when traveling. Some of you travel a lot, and maybe it's when no one's around. Well, get some accountability. I have three friends in my life that on any day they can call me and say, Mark, have you viewed anything you shouldn't be looking at? Dan Cuno, Ron Rockwell, and Wade Goodall. Three people who can ask me, and every time they call, they'll ask me something about, are you sleeping with only your own wife? Because they know in ministry, the fastest way to take someone down is sex. Gold, glory, or girls. But when you're traveling, accountability. Number two, protect your internet usage. Protect it. Get filters. There's ways around it. There's times that I've had people that sign up for something called Triple X Church. Triple X Church is an accountability filter, and it emails everyone, every site you ever go to. Protect yourself. Avoid all dangerous places. That could be dangerous people. That could be, I always, you know, if you want to use the metaphor of a bear, and a bear's awake, you don't go hunting alone during bear season. Hey, stay alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so what are the places? Are there patterns in your life that are certain seasons? I know for me, when I get tired, my defense mechanisms go down. And so I have to make sure when I'm tired that I know those places to protect me. Can I be that vulnerable? And so avoid those places. Second way we heal the wounds is number two, understand it's as you protect the wounded, the wound from further injury, God will heal your mind. God begins to heal your mind. I love what he says in Romans 12, do not conform And that means to be morphed or metamorphosed. It's don't be pushed like Plato. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Say transformed. Conformed is like you take on the morph of the world. Transformed is what? By the renewing of your mind. God begins to renew your mind. And God takes the pictures and the images and God begins to work. And the Holy Ghost begins to transform and change us. That's why I love the fact that when we stand up and talk about these topics, we know the Holy Spirit conforms, transforms. He doesn't conform us, he transforms us. God was into transformers long before the world ever was. Metamorphosis literally means to transform or to change. God can change us. Anyone glad God can change you? Yeah. God loves to recycle sinners. God loves to change us, put lives back together. He loves to transform us and make us different than what we were before. It's complicated. Now here's what I know. That he who conceals sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses it and renounces it finds mercy. So I want to pray over you, but as I do, here's what I know. That as you say, God, I renounce it and I confess it. Now, here's the good news. If you're here, we have care groups at True North Church. In fact, on the side of your worship guide, there's an area where you got care groups. And if you're struggling with pornography, there's groups of men and women who can connect with you and walk you through. Because I believe this. I believe the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Or shall I say, not do. If you want to be something you're not, you have to do something you're not. If you want to be who you want, have always wanted to be, you have to do something you've never done. And so, but if you do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. You know what a rut is? A rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. If you're in a rut, you're going to die in that rut. How do you get out of it? Have someone help you get out of that. Have someone pick you up and get you out of a rut and on the path to wholeness. And we believe Jesus Christ can do that. Other people can do that. That's why life groups are so powerful, to get a context of community with other believers, other Christ followers who can help you walk the life with Jesus. If you're here today or you're listening online and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, at True North, we always say it's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you sin. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And C, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here today, you've never admitted your sin. You've never believed that he died on the cross for you and confessed your sins. Today's a great day. The Bible says when you pray that prayer, the old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. And you'll never be the same again. If you're here, you've never prayed that prayer, you're watching online, you've never made a commitment to serve Jesus with all your heart and all your life, I'd like to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes wherever you're at today, wherever you're listening? Just pray this prayer silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned, but I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross to forgive me. So today I confess my sins to you and I confess you as the life leader, the savior of my life, my Lord. Help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Have a great week. God bless.